As we've been studying these one another commands that you see up on the walls there, we have been talking about several things. We've been talking about that we are a family. We're a family. We're a body. That everything we do affects one another. It means we're responsible for one another. It means that we get to be in one another's lives. We're supposed to be in one another's lives. We've been talking about, so far, being members of one another, being devoted to one another, the call to serve and submit to one another. And this morning, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians and a fun one. You can put that blue one up now, PowerPoint, Joel, to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And can I encourage you, body of Christ at Maranatha? You can put an exclamation mark at the end of this verse, just as in fact you are doing. This is an encouraging body. Well done, Maranatha. Well done. Keep it going. Pour it on. This is important stuff. The Greek word for encourage, the root word up there, comes from the word paraclete. What do you think of when I say paraclete? What we've been talking about the last month. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We are to paraclete one another, encourage one another. The Holy Spirit as our comforter is often talked about when we use the word paraclete. A word means to come alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's not distant. He walks with you. He comes alongside you. He speaks truth into you. He encourages you. He comforts you. He walks out life with you. And guess what? He lives in you. So we as his body are to paraclete one another. We are to walk it out with one another. To speak into one another's lives. Comfort, encouragement, life. We all need encouragement in every situation in life. Have you ever looked in your children's eyes when you encourage them? You're fast, Johnny. Oh, look at Johnny run. Great catch. If you were 3 years old, Colby, you'd be catching things the rest of the day. Look at me catch this, Daddy. It goes to the heart. It goes to the soul. Wives, do you praise your husband sometimes? What do you see? It's got to be real, but I tell you, he'll move the world for you. And you speak into his heart, the heart language he knows. It says, well done, husband of mine. You're the man. Husbands, when was the last time you told your wife how beautiful she was? You can tell me 10 seconds ago, if you're on it. Go for it. I'm not hearing it very loud. It's okay. It's okay. She'll hear you anyways in her heart. My point is, encouragement makes a huge difference. George Adams, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. William Ward said, flatter me and I may not believe you, criticize me and I may not like you, ignore me, I may not forgive you, but encourage me and I will not forgive you. Forget. I was thinking one thing, something else came out. It's a good thing I have you all here. Will not forget you. In honor of Gary being back in town, I even pulled up a Gary Stratichuk quote. And I don't know if I got this right, Gary, but I think it's pretty close. People will go where they're celebrated, not merely tolerated. Is that the right quote? Close enough. So here's the deal. Words of encouragement are oxygen to the soul. We hang on to them. They give us hope. They change the way we function. But before you can encourage someone, you must encourage yourself. A cup must be filled in order to be poured out, and unless it's continually filled, it can run dry. I've talked about David and Ziklag before. That's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. In 1 Samuel 30, oh, I won't go there quite yet. You'll read ahead. In 1 Samuel 30, we encounter David in a place that was rough, let's just say. He's been running from Saul. Saul is seeking to kill him. He's going through a lot of discouragement, a lot of tough times. He's being chased. And he makes this alliance with the king of Gath. But won't you know what? The king of Gath can't be trusted either. And he turns on them, removes his promises of safety and helping them. And David and his men return back to the town of Ziklag. They're tired. They're worn down. They're alone. No one to walk with them. But that's where their families live. And that's a place where they hope to find some rest. Then it happened. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength left to weep. You've been away on holidays. You ask someone to watch the kids. You can have some special couple time. And you turn that, well, first of all, the holiday didn't go very good. Well, it's not what you expected. It was pretty rough going. You're looking forward to coming back home, finding some rest again. You turn that last corner around the street. If you're like me, you always look to see if the house is still standing. But this time it's not. There's an ash heap. You don't know where your kids are. You don't know what's going on. It says that they wept until there was no strength left in them to weep. Have you been there? Maybe some of you were there last night. Maybe it was last week, last month. You were so overcome and overwhelmed that you cried until you couldn't cry anymore. You had nothing left. You were at the end of your rope at the bottom. That's where we find David. Now David's two wives have been taken captive. I haven't practiced these names. The Jezreelite Tess, I'm not going to say it, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. I'm going to try to shorten this whole thing this morning to give us time, but in church life and pastoring, I have come to the end of myself. I've laid on my bed in the dark room with eye patches over my eyes, not knowing what to do. Nothing left to give. With my family, I've come to the end of myself. I'm not talking this morning now. I'm talking there's times don't know what to do. There's no solutions to look up on the internet for this one. Where do I turn? My marriage. There's been days like that. Close to giving up. Weeping until there's no tears left. There's a lot of things in life that can discourage us. And when they take over and we become overwhelmed, the thought of reaching out, encouraging someone else, is not even on our radar. We're just trying to survive. I'm just trying to get through this day. One thing I can guarantee, discouragement will come. It will come to all of us. So here's the question. When it does, how are you going to handle it? Where will you turn for help to get through it? That's the question. Where do you go? Do you go to your friends? You turn on Netflix, open up another bag of chips, more chocolate ice cream. Those are the easy ones, right? Do you blame? Do you yell? My favorite, do you take a long nap in a dark room? Where do you go when everyone around you is discouraged? Don't seem to have any more answers than you do. You know, why go to the bar? I'm not a drinker, but you cannot find any encouragement there. Everyone else in the same boat you are. My point again. Can you see the bottom? David was greatly distressed. People talked about stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He went to someone greater. You gotta go to someone greater. You gotta go to a higher place. You're not gonna find that encouragement, that life at this level. You gotta go someplace else. God, hear my cry. Listen to my prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge to me, O strong tower, in the face of my enemy. That's David. That's David. In the face of his enemy, in the face of discouragement, he cried out to someone greater. He turned to God. We talked about this one at the cry. There's a reason we're calling our Tuesday evening prayer times the cry. This is one of my verses I like coming back to. A couple weeks ago, we were reading it out loud from Zechariah 9. It says, "Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce I will restore twice as much to you. I will rouse you, sons of Zion, against you, sons of Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword." Does that make any sense to you? No. Okay. "I will rouse you, sons of Zion, where the Spirit lives, against you men of Greece, sons of Greece, the natural thinking on this realm where there are no solutions, there are no encouragements. I will rouse you. I will wake you up at the Spirit level. Cry out to me. You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to have the answer. Just come to me, wait on me, call to me. Let me show you. Let me speak to you. Let me talk to you. Let me encourage you from heaven that you might see something that you cannot see in your natural thinking, a solution you will not find on the internet. Rouse yourself." That's where you'll be encouraged. That's where hope will come. David's going to be stoned by all these people. Because their families are gone. He's in a desperate place. But he rouses himself. He says, "I will turn to God. I will wake up my spirit that he would reveal to me something greater than I can see. David was greatly distressed. We've read that, but he strengthened himself in the Lord. End of verse 6. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. The ephod is the vest that the priest put on when they inquired of the Lord. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the enemy? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. What do you see in those two verses? Prayer. He's going to God. He's inquiring. You remember James 1? You guys remember James 1? You remember this one, Michael? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when everything is going well and we can rejoice because we have arrived. No, let's try again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. There's many of them. He knows that. Many kinds. Because you know what? That the testing of your faith will develop perseverance. Perseverance finishes into what? We know this. To be mature and complete. Not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God. Pray, cry out. He will give generously to all without finding fault. You don't have to be worthy of it. You don't have to figure out. Just start crying out. Just start asking. And it will be given to him. I've shared our story here before of that season in our life when everything went wrong. Everything was destroyed. My van was destroyed 3 times over. I lost my job. I was weeping until I could not weep anymore. I want to tell you this. He is not wrecking your life in those seasons. You think he is, but he is not. He's not out to destroy you. He is just allowing what is built on any other foundation than him to crumble. Are you with me? He is allowing what is built on any other foundation than him to crumble. Because it knows, he knows it will not sustain you. It will not work when the time of testing comes. So that you may know him as your foundation. So that you might know real safety. So that you might know the real peace that only he can offer. And when I say no, I mean no. We talk about in the Bible how they knew one another. And it was an intimate knowing. You are not going to know because someone preached it up here and told you. You're going to know because you've experienced it. In the middle of it, he was true to his word. When everything else fell apart, he was still there. A.W. Tozer says this, safety and peace come only after we have been forced to our knees. And then he adds, God rescues us and breaking us by shattering our strength and wiping out our resistance. God uses trials and discouragements in our lives. Do I have a witness? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The question is, are you willing to bend your knee? Or are you still trying to live out of those 2 ounces of human wisdom and strength that you have left? Are you trying to rush through the water of adversity and get to the man-made shore on the other side for your security? Are you willing to stop where you are, to ask him to meet you in the midst of what you're going through. Invite him to wash away all that is ill-fitting, all that is tied to the securities of this world, and allow him to bring you to a new shore, the shore of Christ alone. Oh, I'm running out of time. I said I was going to hurry through it. Okay, let's get on with it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. When do you receive comfort? When you're in trouble. How are you going to give comfort to others? By getting comfort from him when you're in trouble. You know what it feels like, and now you're going to pass it on. Good. Share it with someone if you've received it. We've never been meant to come together and sit here and look at the back of each other's heads and listen to me. We're still there, but that's not what we're meant for. We're meant to interact. We're meant to share it. We're meant to go deep with one another. We're meant for this stuff. And we're going to get to do it this morning if I stop talking soon, but I got to say a few more things. If you don't like me, start praying for me. Come and talk to me. Think about one thing that you do like even a little bit about me. And tell me what a good job I'm doing in that area. Are you with me? Good. I'm not talking about myself, by the way. Moving on. Just jump down to number 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Spur one another on. Encourage one another. Here we go. Do you withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to act? No. Open your mouth. Let them know. Let them hear from you. Why? Because an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A pleasant word is a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You can bring healing to people this morning just by speaking a kind word into their heart, by encouraging them. A word aptly spoken is like an apple of gold in settings of silver. I don't quite know what that means, but that sounds good. I want apples of gold in my silver. Okay, let's do it. Now, pay attention, because we're going to have you interact very shortly. We're going to go a couple minutes over, maybe 5, 10 at the most. Okay. Here are some things you can say to one another. You can say, great job. Good job. Well done. You can pat someone on the back and say, that was really great. I appreciate you. Thank you for all your hard work and effort. If you're married, you might want to try this. You look gorgeous today. We tried it earlier. Try it again. I appreciate all the things you have done for me these years. I'm glad I'm married to you. I'm so glad I'm married to you. Christine, I'm so glad I'm married to you. Thank you for being with me all these years. You're the best friend I know. Parents, we talked about your children and how they respond. Let me tell you that affirming words to your children can set their course for life. Discouraging words can have a huge damage in the early years, but encouraging words can set their course for life and how they feel about themselves and how they feel about themselves and God. Speak them often. Whenever you get the opportunity, take it. There's no reason to hold it back. I'm proud of you, son, daughter. Way to go. You did it. I knew you could do that. You're a great helper. You're so special to me. I trust you. Hooray for you. Beautiful work. That's so creative. You're so responsible. You remembered. You remembered. I couldn't be prouder of you. I'm behind you. You're God's special gift. I'm here for you and I love you. Here are some that might be pushing it a little bit in words of encouragement, but I think they fit. How about these? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Words can help heal, build us up, or they can tear down. But we have the power to use them, to partner with Holy Spirit, to paraclete, to bring healing, to bring life, to bring fullness. So that's what we're going to do. There's just a few to help you get started. I'm going to play a song. The next 10 minutes, it's you, together with Holy Spirit and one another. And I encourage you, take 3, 4 people, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, and go and speak an encouragement to them. It can be very simple. If the Lord puts something deeper on your heart that you want to follow up with, that you want to pray over someone, there's different ways to encourage one another. Listen to him. Work with him. Follow him. You with me? Let's do it. I don't know what song I'm going to play yet, but if you can put the iPod thing up here, I'll play something. If you want to write something down, maybe you're intimidated by going encouraging someone. Write something down. You can give it to someone later or afterwards. Or you might even read it out to them. Roger taught us a little song at the cry, and I don't remember how it goes. I'm not going to try to sing it now, but it says, I can see the glory of the King in you, something like that. I can see in you the glory of my King. If you see the glory of the King in one of your brothers and sisters, just tell them what you see in them. Okay? Good.